There we go. That's not too bad. It is a beautiful day in the UK right now. And I went off for a little walk and I was thinking to myself, well, why don't I go back to the little spot of forest where I first came and started doing videos? Because we're coming up on, I think about 5 years, just over 5 years, since I was first making these forest recordings. And I think I wanted to come here because, you know, I'm at a point doing what I'm doing with Project Unity where it's got to a place I never would have expected it to get to. For those that don't know, this is where I first started recording videos. I came up here because I wanted to be in a quiet place where no one could hear me so that I could explain my contact experiences that I had with the orbs. And it's crazy. I mean, that's what kicked off this entire YouTube channel, Project Unity, everything I'm doing now, everything that I've been doing for the past 5 years comes from me having these incredibly personal experiences, and that inspired me to come out into this little space like this and tell people that this is real. When I reflect back on the past 5 years and everything that's happened with Project Unity, the kind of discussions I've been able to have, the people I've been able to meet, and the opportunities that have been able to be afforded to me through connecting and networking with all of these different people, reflecting back, I'm just incredibly grateful to the experiences I had. For me, it's always getting drawn back to those experiences with the orange orbs. That is the catalyst, the ultimate kind of point of acceleration for me personally. It's funny because I've gone back and I've gone forth on where I sit on what they are. And deep down, I still have a real intuition that this is connected to something far bigger, far greater than just another planetary-based civilization coming into contact with our civilization. Now, I'm not dismissing the possibility that that's actually happening. I just don't think that's what's happening with these contact modalities, with these modes of initiating this rudimentary form of communication, because it is communication, even though it's not fully understood or easy to articulate, because it happens in a way that has to be interpreted, it's still a communication. The orange orbs that I saw, this to me was an indication that the non-local capacities of consciousness, the ability for your consciousness to in some way traverse beyond the constraints of the physical body, is real. This was at least the message that I got, because the methods in which I was trying to initiate a form of communication were methods involving meditative practice and the projection, the imagining of a projection of my thoughts, a resonating of my thoughts and intentions and emotions out into the ether. And this gave me results, and it changed my life. Changed the direction that I was going in, changed the kind of subjects I was interested in, what I was doing at the time, shifted dramatically. And that's when I first picked up my phone and I put it on a tree branch and I started talking to you all like this. I felt absolutely inspired and energized and passionate about telling you that this was possible. I think the reason why I felt so amazed, not only by the introduction of an unknown, some form of confirmation of there being an other, but because of the mode, the modality, the consciousness interaction. I've always thought that the world was probably more magical than it looks like it is. I have to go down the spiritual route. I can't really navigate through my experiences without invoking some form of a spiritual model. It's funny, you know? It's like a lot has changed, but nothing has changed. I'm still completely energized and driven to understand my own experiences. Along the way, kind of fortunate and unfortunate in an irony, I've been connected to all sorts of people. You know, a lot of people in the intelligence community, a lot of people I would have never expected that I'd get in contact with, right? Like I said, I'm grateful and it's a good thing, but it's also meant that the keystone of my interest, which is the consciousness connection and the fundamental aspect of reality that seems to be hinting at us that yes, there is an awareness, there is something embedded into the substructure. It's responsive to you if you get into the right states of mind. You know, that to me is and always will be the fundamental building block upon which I've now built more of a, you know, career, quote unquote. Never was really the intention, but I'm extremely happy that I'm now able to do something that I am passionate about and sustains me. Of course, you have to then balance a delicate balance between how you interact with the public and how you actually act as a person and being true to yourself, which, you know, I try my best to just be as true to myself as I can. Sometimes that gets me in trouble, but ultimately my intentions are good. Ultimately, I'm here to try and learn and help other people learn. That's always been the intention. It's always been the goal, because seeing those things, having those experiences, even though there's a lot of people that have had experiences, it's still very novel. You know, it's a unique thing. If you have that happen to you, which I know so many of you have, I think a lot of you would agree, you feel like you gotta try and tell someone. At least someone, right? And I don't really know what inspired it. I was just like, I've gotta put it on film. I'm gonna put it on YouTube. Why not? What am I gonna call my YouTube channel? Well, this whole principle to me feels like a melding between our understandings in physics and science and quantum mechanics and what our ancient mystics and archaic ancestors and shamans had to understand through spirit. It feels like a unification of spirit and science. Project Unity. That's how I came up with the name. I just thought to myself, well, that's representative of this whole goal, to try and bring both of these sides of the world together. Two different flips of the observational coin. It's the same thing. Science and spirit, just observing life through different lenses. But it's the same thing. And I think bringing this together, probably one of the most important goals of our time. And I think we're getting there. I mean, don't you? Yeah, there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of things going on that make me upset and make me angry. But when I think about my own life, and I invite you to do the same, you know, think about the times that have been real lows, real down moments for you. I mean, it's basically impossible, not impossible, but it's hard to see the benefit in those situations when you're actually experiencing them. But I think a lot of you would agree that with a bit of self-reflection, with a bit of time, with a bit of development, with a bit of growth, you look back and you go, oh, you know, that was actually, gosh, that was a fundamental point in my life, wasn't it? That was a changing point. It pushed me, made me do something that I wouldn't do otherwise, right? Sometimes life gives you a pretty big kick. And it's up to you whether or not you grow from that. But if you do, normally you reflect back, you look at that bad situation, and in as many ways as you can, you try and bless it. Try and bless that situation. And if you live your life like that, the next time something comes along, you may be better equipped. Doesn't mean it's going to get rid of all of the negativity of the situation, but you may be better equipped to surf across that wave, right? To make it a little smoother. And if you look at the way the world is right now, I would say that we're in that kind of a moment. We're in that turbulence, the dark night of the soul, whatever you want to call it, as a collective. We're in that moment. But there's also a lot of things happening. There's a lot of things happening at the same time that give me optimism. And I think that the science and spirit entanglement, this kind of co-relationship between these two different ways of looking at life, I think that's coming closer and closer together. So for me, Project Unity, it's not just about UFOs. My interests go far beyond UFOs, UFO disclosure. My experiences, you know, they have to be categorized as UFOs because they were unidentified, they were flying, and they were some form of an object. So by definition, they're UFOs. But I think lumping all of this stuff together sometimes isn't the healthiest approach. I don't think it is all the same thing. So I kind of look at it from a more philosophical perspective, I guess. What does this tell us about reality? What does it tell us about the fundamentals, you know? The real framework, the baseline, the zero point. What does it tell us? Well, I think it tells us that there is a responsivity to reality itself. I think this is something that some pretty powerful people know. The whole manifestation secret, it's not necessarily a secret, but it's not really promoted and supported in the normal world. By design, I think, laughed away and encouraged to be looked at as just a New Age principle, but no, I think there's a responsivity to the actual quantum dynamics of reality, and you're a bio-quantum computer that is capable of influencing things on a very fundamental level. Doesn't mean that you can quite literally shift reality for everyone else around you, but I think that there is absolutely a subtle interplay between you and your environment, and I have seen enough synchronicities in my life, I've experienced enough signs and synchronicities to feel very strongly that there is a responsivity, and that would indicate to me that there is a coherence, a consciousness, an awareness within the actual fractal Planck level of reality, the absolute bottom, all the way up to the top. We're just an expression of that. We're just an expression coming up from that baseline, right? So it's like subtle forms of consciousness, slightly more developed forms of consciousness, like basic awareness, sentience. Where does it go from there? We're not at the top of that pyramid, people. Where does it go from there? That's what I think the orbs are, personally. Maybe I'll change my mind, but right now, my experiences with those orbs, I think they're a step above us. Maybe one, two, three, who knows? They're not below us. I don't believe that. There's a lot of fear-mongering in the UFO community. And, you know, rightfully so, because I'm not going to sit here and say everyone's experiences are positive and all the negative ones are made up. No. But it's a grey area. I think there's a lot of government involvement in fear campaigns. I would not be surprised at all if there really are vehicles that look like UFOs and they've mimicked things to kind of create this fear. But I'm also not going to sit there and say that there aren't beings or entities out there that have malicious intentions, because I kind of go with the as above, so below idea, right? There are things below us, there are things above us. I think if you invoke from the true power center of your nature something of a higher order of consciousness, you don't have to be afraid. But that's a difficult thing to process. And I'll tell you something. When I was first doing this, when I was first going out and doing the contact, I had no fear whatsoever, not one bit of fear. And it's because of the way in which it was introduced to me. Whole load of synchronicities. It just felt like such a strong sign when I was introduced to the concept of CE5 or making this kind of contact. The unique situations that piled up prior to it meant that when it happened, when I was introduced to the concept, I mean, it was like I was a religious convert. I won't lie. I was like, wow, that was a sign from the universe. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. Just felt like a sign from the universe. And I just felt so inspired to go out and start doing it. And it worked. It worked. It really is a fundamentally life-changing thing when you see something that is absolutely beyond the normal, 100% beyond anything you've ever seen before. I think you either reject it or accept it, you know? And I accepted it. I accepted it. I was inspired by it. It opened up my mind to ways of looking at reality that I would never have considered prior to having those experiences, which I would classify as some form of neural plasticity. So the novel nature, the uniqueness of those experiences had some form of, in my opinion, neurological effect, because it changed the way that I thought about things, it changed what I was interested in, suddenly I was finding myself able to sit up until 3 o'clock in the morning reading about quantum mechanics and the philosophies of consciousness and things that I just wasn't engaged in previously to the same level. So what does that tell you about this phenomenon? I mean, it's kind of like you interact with it, it rewards you with a really novel experience, and from that, it can be like a neurological catalyst. It's almost like it's encouraging you to step up into higher thresholds of consciousness, you know? It's a muscle. I do think it's a muscle to be exercised. So a lot of us have completely atrophied our consciousness muscles. We're not flexing and stretching those muscles at all, for the most part. And our society does not encourage that kind of behavior. It actively, you know, poisons our blood and toxifies our air and reduces our brain to neural chatter through all the bullshit that we have to hear pushed into the media and pushed into the TV. And, you know, this is just the way that the world is set up. It's set up to reduce you down into a more compliant drone, you know, someone who just clocks in, clocks out, turns their brain off on the weekend, goes back to work. It's not your fault. It's how the system's been established. It's not easy to survive outside of that. Right? We all have to participate in the madness of the current way. But if you recognize it for what it is, it does mean that you can put up more barriers against being influenced directly by it. And if you can do that and you can separate yourself from it enough, which Lord knows I don't do, because the first thing I do in the morning is check my Twitter, a habit I need to get out of. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. If you can plug out, you can plug into something else. Plug into something way bigger, far more important, fundamental and inspiring. And, you know, not without risk. Certainly not without risk. But the best things in life are not without risk. I would never take back having my experiences. People say that, you know, you've been influenced by a manipulative energy, a demonic presence, a trickster. I don't know, but ever since I had those experiences, my life has taken off in directions I could never have predicted. Met people I would never have imagined I'd meet. Speaking with people I'd never imagined I'd speak to. You know, it's a really wild journey, and it's not been without its ups and downs, of course, but I wouldn't take it back. I wouldn't take it back at all. I mean, in a few weeks, I'm going to be speaking on stage for the first time. First time properly. At Contact in the Desert. I'm going to be talking about my experiences. And talking about what inspired me. And believe me, like, you know, imagine me. I'm just a normal guy. I really am. I'm just a normal guy growing up in the UK who had these experiences and now is on this path. And, you know, imagine sitting there and being like, my God, like I'm flying off to speak on stage soon. All of this came from those experiences, like all of this power and passion and energy and drive and, like, you know, late nights and all of that came from those experiences. So it's really hard for me to look at that and go, wow, what a negative element, because it's given me all these different opportunities and open doors. So it still inspires me, and I still encourage you. I do still encourage you to consider these practices. But, like I said, I do believe in as above, so below. I think you have to be very careful. I think you have to be very, very careful with these things. I'm skeptical of a lot of things in the UFO community, but I'm not skeptical of the reality we're in. There are other intelligences that are occupying space with us. They're here. I think we're going to find that out in a lot clearer vision in the coming years. There are things happening. You know, there are people in very professional settings doing extremely sophisticated work on absolutely next generation breakthrough innovations and technologies that are having experiences that defy the normal. I am telling you, people who are normal, rational, scientific, reductionist minds who are at the forefront of doing very special things with very special technologies, they are having paranormal experiences because of these technologies. Okay, there are events taking place that are starting to completely undermine the fabric of our models for physics, okay? Our models for consciousness. There are things happening right now that are just completely changing the way most of these scientists look at the world. Look at their own lives. You know, I'm serious. There is a lot of existential consideration being taken by people in very important positions. Yeah, we certainly do live in a really wild time. It's easy to see it now. I think if Terence McKenna was alive, he'd be screaming from the rooftops. You know, that the singularity is upon us, the eschaton, the transcendental object at the end of time. It's right there now. I mean, can you feel it? Can you feel this sense that there's just no way things can carry on the way they are for much longer? Do you get that? Because I really do, and I'm not alone. I mean, a lot of the people I talk to in quiet words, and I just... we all feel that there is just a time limit to this. It feels like the old world. It feels like we're living in the old world. There's a transition coming. It's basically here. We're essentially in the middle of it. We're feeling the turbulence, the force of it. It's rattling our cages in good and bad ways, in positive and negative. It's getting stronger and stronger. Do you feel that? Because it does feel like it's building up. And do you sense that that building up can go on for much longer, a decade? Can things carry on the way that they kind of are for 10 years, 5 years? There's just so much change. It can be intimidating and hard to deal with. But I'm also seeing people waking up all over the place. Like, literally, people you would never have expected to just start questioning things, and then they're questioning things. It's like, yes, yes, even those who were really captured by the way the system captures you are now coming out of it and going, this is fucked. You are treating us wrong. Every single one of us is a human being. You know, I think what we're coming to is a time of realization that we are powerful, all of us. Each and every one of us is a very powerful entity. And we've been subjugated, we have been suppressed, we have been put to heel by powerful interests for a very long time. Because people don't actually understand how powerful they are. And that's why they think it's ridiculous. They think it's ridiculous that such an incredible amount of effort could be put, perhaps even over thousands of years, by the royal bloodline families that still have their influence today. Why? What's so important about subjugating and suppressing us? And is it just, you know, to make us controllable and good little worker bees? Well, that's a component of it. But the deepest truth is that actually, you're an eternal aspect of the infinite, embodied in a temporary avatar. This isn't you. This isn't me. We are something far greater. We are of a magnitude beyond your comprehension, beyond my comprehension. They know that they have to keep that spark down. That's the most important part of this system of control that we exist in, and absolutely believe it, it's a system of control. It's not rational to look at this as anything other than a system of control, because your ability to explore your own corridors of perception are locked off to you. Your ability to express yourself to the highest regard of what you are creatively is essentially blocked off to you, unless you're one of the lucky ones that makes enough money, has enough financial freedom to break out of the 9-to-5 cycle. But that's not most people, is it? Most people, most of us, we're just trying to live, just trying to survive. But that's not what humans do. We're not just an animal. We're not just an animal that roams around trying to survive. We are infinite aspects of the unbounded, complete, absolute, conscious, creative force that creates all of this. We are that in a little shell, in a human body. That does not want to just clock in and clock out of a shitty job and pay their shitty taxes and die. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to be completely unbounded in our creative ability. But we're locked away from that. So it's a system of control. That's my point. It really is. And denying it is only possible if you don't actually know what you're capable of. If you don't realize that you're capable of things beyond the current status quo of reality, beyond physics, beyond our understanding of what we're able to do as conscious beings, if you don't understand that, if you don't realize that, then of course you're not going to truly appreciate just how much of a control system it is. But I know I'm preaching to the choir. Most of you here, you're explorers and seekers and philosophers and creatives and experiencers, and you know, this is why we gather in spaces where we can. But there's more and more every day. And that's what gives me optimism. Regardless of everything else that's going on in the world, I have optimism. But not naive optimism. I don't think it's sensible to be complacent. I think we have to challenge these people. I think we probably do have to talk about politics. I think we probably do have to talk about the World Economic Forum and foreign policy and Israel and Palestine and the things that are happening. I think we do have to talk about it. There's a certain truth to not letting fear saturate you and control your life. And if you're inundated with the horrors of the world, absolutely, you can start to just kind of manifest that, right? You start just going down a negative thought process. But digging your head into the sand is not necessarily the answer. Fortifying your mind is the answer. Building your inner strength is the answer, but not ignoring the clear signs in our world, the clear flashing signs saying, hey, these things shouldn't be happening and we should talk about it. People are split into tribalistic groups. People are politicized beyond recognition in many ways. And there's a fear involved in crossing over sacred lines that have been drawn between parties and ideologies. But I don't really believe in that. I think that you should speak your truth regardless of whether it coincides with your group belief in your politics. Speak your truth. And I just think that it's not about burying your head in the sand. It's about having the courage to speak, but not to let it affect your mental health and your spirit. You have to be strong enough in spirit, in mind and body, to talk and discuss these things, to raise the alarm. That's my advice. Don't bury your head in the sand. Just be strong enough to deal with it and help people understand that it should be dealt with. Because there are plenty of things that need to be dealt with. It's not just UFO disclosure. I will drink this in a second. UFO disclosure is just a component of such a big puzzle. Narrowing your vision to just that one element and restricting all others is not necessarily the best way. In fact, I would say that these things all are correlational to each other. We solve this problem, it solves this problem, it solves this problem. Maybe that is part of the process of UFO disclosure. But it has become a little bit religious. It's a bit ambiguous, you know. What does it really mean? What does it really mean, UFO disclosure? I mean, there's been so many decades of secrecy. I can't really see any process revealing anything tangible through the government channels. Even if they're forced to, they won't be forced to. They'll lie about it. And it's, you know, if it's in the black budget, if it's beyond the black budget, if it's in the unacknowledged, waived, carved out special access program labyrinth, private interest contractors, corporations, I mean, it's gone. No government's going to find it. It's gone. Different approach will be needed, not congressional hearings. It's not going to be found through those channels, if it's that deep, which it probably is. Probably is that deep. It's not, you know, going to be on the surface level of Pentagon R&D, is it? It's going to be right down in the bottom, maybe like a liaison in the government to a contractor group, but completely in the dark. I think they have developed tech. Pretty confident that they have developed propulsion technologies that could mimic what we would consider to be a UFO. So we have to be so guarded of that. It has a strong psychological warfare component, the UFO subject in general. Have to be extremely cautious of that. The US government is one of, and mine as well, don't worry, we're not innocent, the Five Eyes, all of us are in trouble together, UK. But the US government is one of the longest standing perpetrators of psyops and coups and corruption and conspiracies. You even shot your own president. So let's not pretend that's not happening now. Let's not pretend that all of the corruption and backdoor deals and dirty politics and, you know, lobbyists, let's not pretend that hasn't done anything other than grow, because it has. It's just got worse. We have to acknowledge that. If you acknowledge that, then you can kind of get to the point where you're like, right, it's very unlikely actually, that anything tangible is going to come through government channels. So kind of like a UFO disclosure through government channels, come on, let's just get rid of that now. Let's get over it. It's a citizen thing. It is a citizen thing. And I think that the consciousness interaction, quite frankly, could yield more results in terms of getting people to understand that there is a much larger thing at play. I'm not saying it's the only way. I think private groups and, you know, think tanks being set up is a great thing. But yeah, I think, you know, if these think tanks, if they're specifically populated with nothing really but the intelligence community, again, I think that can be taken with a nice, healthy heap of Himalayan rock salt, because you got to be careful. My interactions with the IC over the last 5 years has taught me you got to be careful with these people. You just never know. I think I wanted to make this video because I just wanted to talk. I just wanted to have a little chat with you all. I just want to have a little chat and just kind of give you my thoughts and opinions as they are right now. Feeling really inspired and very driven to discuss the things that I think are important and pursue those and be passionate about it. And I'm excited to be speaking on stage. I'm nervous. It's an hour and a half. So I've been practicing, of course, and I hope I do a good job. I could never have predicted any of that. You know, it's a really wild thing to think that 5 years ago I was standing here. I had, like, you know, one subscriber and I was putting up a video of me chatting. I've still got my beard. I haven't really changed that much. Maybe a slightly nicer haircut, but that's about it. But my life has changed dramatically. My life has changed dramatically, and you know, that speaks to the phenomena. I say phenomena, not phenomenon, because I actually do have to look at it as a spectrum. My orbs are a element within that spectrum. So yeah, I mean, the phenomena, the element I interacted with, it led me all the way to here. And you know, I get it. I mean, some people have like fallen out of favor with me. I've become a little bit more skeptical of like the government TTSA disclosure thing, and I'm not 100% sure where I sit on what those guys have been trying to do over the past few years. I think that's healthy. I think that's perfectly rational and reasonable. I'm not a hater. I just feel like there's been problems and red flags and insufficient evidence released since 2017. I just sit on the fence of it these days, you know. I observe it, but I'm not impassioned by it, driven by it. I'm not sitting there thinking this is going to be a big year for UFO disclosure, because I don't really think that's the case. Although I actually entertain the idea more so that other things will create a big disclosure, a, you know, dare I say, catastrophic disclosure. I get a sense that there are other things that will happen outside of this thing, whatever it really is, that's been going on since 2017. I think there's other elements at play. So don't lose hope. Certainly not. I haven't. You know, my thoughts have changed. My opinions have changed. Some of them, not all of them, which I think, again, is healthy. It's good to grow and learn and develop. And I've made mistakes and tried to learn from them. So really, I think I ultimately just wanted to talk about self-empowerment, you know? Don't hand your disclosure off to some spooks in the government. You have your disclosure. You can have your disclosure tomorrow. If you get into the right state of mind and you actually have the right intentions, that's your disclosure right there. You introduce that to someone else, that's their disclosure. Maybe they'll do the same for someone else and that'll be their disclosure, you know? Don't underestimate word of mouth. It's one of the fastest ways in which something propagates. Don't underestimate someone saying something to someone else and it going on from there. Just don't hand your power to these people. You know, don't just sit back and be like, oh, you know, Lou's going to figure it out. Gary's going to figure it out. Chris is going to figure it out. They're all going to, they're going to bust the doors wide open and everything's going to be fine from there on out. No, it won't. All right, we got to all do this together in our own individual ways. And I think that ultimately my message to you right now is to just, you know, keep your own counsel. Don't be too easily influenced by the flashing lights of a kind of government-stamped disclosure process. It all sounds so good until you peel back and kind of take a real gander at it. Then it starts to look a little bit flimsy. Oh yeah, they're hiding something. More than something, they're hiding a lot of things. I just think that the really important stuff that we really would like to see, what's gonna get that out, huh? You know, what is gonna get that out? A miracle. According to Ben Rich, it would take an act of God to ever get these things out to benefit the public. It's a shame. But I do think, like I said before, the surface world is just kind of catching up. Maybe the bitter pill that we've got to swallow is that, yes, they have had that tech for a long time, but we're actually getting to a point now in the modern world where we're building that tech. Quantum computation and superconductors and virtual reality and AI, all of these things coming together to kind of build that sci-fi world. Zero point energy and novel propulsion, right? A post-scarcity economy. There's a potential for that. It's not what any of us want to hear, but maybe these guys, whoever they are, and girls, whoever they are, these five-star generals or high-level contractors, whoever they might be, maybe they've sat back for a long time and said, look, human species is just not ready. It's not ready for this. We have to sit back, we have to wait. We have to wait until it starts developing in the normal world. When it starts developing in the normal world, maybe then we can kind of infuse it with a bit of a boost. But until then, it's just too much. It's just too much. I might not necessarily agree with that position, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's a position that's been entertained and perhaps held on to, that we're not ready. Maybe we're getting ready now. You'd like to think so, because there's just enough problems in the world. It's like, probably time to roll out the free energy and the anti-gravity, and who knows if it's possible, but that would probably be a good time, you know? Feels like it. But this is what I mean by it just feels like we're in the old world. It just feels like we're on the edge of something else. Seriously, I actually really want to know. Comment below, tell me, how long do you think this kind of world model that we have and the way things are, how long do you think it can sustain itself? Do you feel like it's collapsing? Because I do. I'd be interested to know if you feel like there's longevity to the current situation, or do you also get the sense that we're on like a transition, that we're right on the edges of some sort of like phase shift, for better or worse? A decision point arriving. Tell me in the comment section below. tell me what you think. I should do more videos like this. People have told me to. It's been a difficult year. I've been pushing as hard as I can with Project Unity, but just to be honest with all of you, I've had some tough times personally, in my own personal life, that I've had to kind of grapple with and struggle with emotionally, and that whilst being some form of public persona can be difficult. Like, you know, because you're having a low time, you're feeling low, you're not really in a great mood, but you've got to kind of keep interacting, and then maybe you're interacting in the wrong way because you're in a low mood. Like, this is just being a human being, right? Like, I am just a human being. Sometimes I say things I probably shouldn't say on Twitter, and, you know, that's my problem. But I'm just a human, just trying to figure things out, you know. I haven't even hit my 30s yet, so I think I'm doing okay. But I have stayed true to my message. It's always been, you know, consciousness underpinning all of the things that I talk about. Most of my interviews, you'll be hard-pressed to find one where I'm not inserting in some way a discussion about the deeper elements of our own consciousness. So, like, yeah, I mean, I might make posts that not everyone agrees with, or I might move into avenues that people think, oh, he's not doing what he was doing before. But that's not really true. I'm absolutely still driven by the experiences I had. And that is my core interest, is trying to understand this subtle interplay between our minds and whatever is interacting when we get into these spaces, into these states of consciousness, states of mind. So that's the core. That always will be the core. But yeah, I'm diversifying my portfolio, so to speak. You know, I want to talk to people about AI and technology and, you know, maybe even a little bit of global affairs and politics. Like, these are things that I still am interested in. I don't want to inundate myself or you with things that aren't vibratorily, you know, co-tangent and beneficial. But at the same time, I do think it's important to discuss critical issues. And I kind of feel like they all relate, even in subtle ways. Especially when it comes to developing our collective consciousness. You know, empathy. Feels like we really are lacking in empathy. Don't you agree? I mean, I think about that. I go through my Twitter. I see someone doing a makeup tutorial. And then a child in Gaza with no arms. And then I scroll past that, you know, and then on with my day. It's not sitting right with me. It's not sitting right with me. You know, things like that, it just feels like these are critical moments in our time, like in our current time, where you need to talk about it in some way. I'm still figuring out what way I would like to talk about those things, but I think probably just having a guest on, maybe a guest on that really knows their stuff when it comes to certain issues and avenues. But I think it's important. I do. For the larger spiritual consciousness conversation, to discuss things that are spirit breaking, that are occurring right now, things that are so antithetical to spiritual living, so against the soul. I mean, that's how I feel about it, for sure, in those moments where I actually, you know, take time to consider what people are going through right now around the world. Love is the most important thing. Love is the most important thing. That's the end of this message. For sure, love. Hardest thing to actually achieve in the most important times when it's required. Do you know what I mean by that? What I mean by that is it's easy to love when it's easy to love. But the point of love is to love when it's hard. It's really easy to love the people you love, but can you love the people you hate? Man. I know I can't, or at least I struggle. Sometimes in a delicate little moment, I'll say, oh, you know, it's all right. I love them. That troll, that person, whatever they said to me, it's okay. It's all part of my journey. However, you say that to my face and I'll be like, what? What? So I'm not fully evolved, am I? None of us are. You know, we're all still learning. But love Love is absolutely the most important thing in the world. It's the only thing that actually matters. It's the only thing that I think you come here to truly understand, is that love is the fundamental thing. It's the thing that connects us all, binds us all, creates the most beautiful experiences. It's the only thing that really, really matters, you know? So tell the people that you love them today. Send them a message, phone them, whatever you need to do. Tell them you love them. And you don't have to message or call these people, but in your mind, tell your enemies that you love them. Try it. You might like it. And try and be a calmer person when people confront you. That's me talking to myself right there. You know? I like to do good for people. I really do. I like to do good, and I get enjoyment out of helping people, but I've got, you know, I've got my attitudes. I've got my attitudes. Some things I'm working on, you know, as a person. I'm not ashamed to admit that, because we're all working on things. For me, it's my reactivity. I'm quite an emotional person. I'm very in tune with my emotions, with my feminine side, I suppose you could say. You know, I embrace the masculine and the feminine energies within me. So I can get a little bit, you know, a little bit touchy at times, and I know that. So that's what I'm working on. What are you working on?